Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Got my glasses all hung up in here. Mark chapter 2, starting with 1 through 12. I promise I'll find it in just a minute. Okay. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to a paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that man, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And the word that Mark loved so much, immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings today. We thank you, Lord, that you touch our hearts with these words. And we ask, Lord, tonight that we understand them and see our need in these scriptures. And we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Capernaum was where most of, in the area where most of Jesus' miracles took place. A little city that was like his home. And people stood in amazement. When Jesus came to town and what he did, people came and followed him. And it's in the midst of all the miracles, it's hard to believe that many still rejected him. And yet I find over the years that it's still hard to believe that when Jesus Christ is preached and when the Son of God has been so good to us as individuals and people, how we can still reject God. Now, Jesus has come to Capernaum, and the word has got out that he's preaching the word. And people gathered. The house was filled with people. When we were there, I believe, in Israel, we got to go to this house and where they said it was probably, and we went inside and you could see many where people would gather and listen to the word, and it's right down the street from the synagogue. And I believe the greatest thing that could happen to this church is that Jesus Christ was here. And I believe people can see that when revival breaks loose in our lives. You see, Jesus always draws a crowd. When we're excited about Jesus, when we're telling people about Jesus, he never lets us down. And I believe that's one reason new works seem to multiply so well. I was reading these SBTC paper. And you see in those papers, those mission churches are excited about Jesus Christ, and they baptize good numbers of people. And yet, after they've been there a while, it seems like the fire goes down, the excitement goes down, and there's not as many people. But when Jesus came here, the crowd gathered, and the word was preached. I believe on Sunday morning, folks, when we meet together, we ought to preach the word. Nothing but the word. We're not doing nothing but lifting Jesus Christ up in our lives. Jesus was simply feeding people the word of God, and we find that in the midst of all this, the story gathers. Now, we see a paralyzed man here. Serious is his sickness, very serious condition. He'd paralyzed, he couldn't walk. It indicates maybe that some malfunction in his body or brain couldn't, he was incapacitated. He just couldn't get up. He had to be carried wherever he went. He couldn't walk on his own. So it was a very serious sickness. Now, we also have a spiritual disease. It's called sin. And sin is very serious in our lives, in the lives of people all around us. Never have we seen so much sin in the world as we do right now, I don't believe. Folks, you can't even turn on your television. You can't listen to the music. You can't hardly hear anything like that without hearing vulgar words. It's so rampant in our country. It's not only heard anymore on our televisions. You see our children talking like this, and it's just bad out there today in the world. Well, when in Genesis it started in the Garden of Eden, we heard about that song there, but when sin, it just affected the whole human race, and it's still multiplying today, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. So sin is very serious. It not only, this man was paralyzed, but it paralyzes a person's spiritual life. If we're trying to live for Christ and we have sin in our life, it paralyzes our witness for Jesus Christ. Teddy said, pass these out everywhere you go. I hope you go to places that are reputable. And I don't want to see hear anybody finding any. I thought about when he said that. Better not find none of them in bars, okay? They said, pass them out wherever you go. And I said, oh, we liable to have some in bars. You say, well, that, you know, we find our members sometimes in places that are not good. Folks, we have a Christian witness, and we're to have that witness to glorify Jesus Christ. Be alert where you go and what you do and what you buy. You see? Man, I tell you what, not long back I saw one of our members, and they don't come very much anymore, but I saw them in the Walmart, and in their buggy they had wine. And they saw me, and that may be why they don't come back too much anymore. But, you know, that's, you know, you're not trying to hide it from me. God sees you. And if you're ashamed to see the preacher, oh, man, let me tell you something. You ought to be ashamed in your Christian life. But, you know, we see so much of that going on. And people say, well, preacher, just a little bit won't hurt nothing. It ruins your testimony. It kills you. You go down through there and you try to invite somebody, a checker, to the church for revival when you have something like that in your buggy. How far do you think it's going to go over? It's not going to go very far. Sin is serious, and it's serious everywhere. In our lives, in the lost person's life, we do not realize how much damage. A young man was telling Bill and I the other day, he grew up in church and everything like that, and he said he looked for a person a Christian that really lived the Christian life. He said, there's just not any. And I thought, man, you know, we need to be living the type of life, because there's people out there looking at our life. And he told us he found Christ and made all the difference in his life. Well, the source of his sickness, the Bible says, the words of Jesus indicate that he was crippled because probably of a spiritual reason. And he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the sickness is, you know, is not always a result of sin. But a lot of times it is. But not always the case. When I remember a story when Jesus talked about the man born blind, the disciples asked him, who sinned? His parents or what? And they said, no. Jesus said, no one sinned, this man. Sin's not always because of our disease, is not always because of the sin. But in John, when this man was crippled, Jesus said, sin no more, lest a greater thing come upon you. So, a lot of people are sowing seeds of sin that are going to reap the penalty in their life if they keep on. But the Bible says, listen, as sins, be sure your sins will find you out. So watch what you do. Watch where you go. Be sure to stay away from this thing called sin. And then God has given us a right to make choices in our life. And we need to watch out the choices that we make in dealing with things in our life. Choose to obey God, not to disobey God. Choose to live right, not to live wrong. And when we choose to disobey God, or disobey the laws of God, we can expect to pay the price for disobedience of those laws. We pay the penalties in our life. Not only do we pay the penalties, a lot of times our children will pay in those penalties. So watch what you do. Watch how you live the Christian life. Be diligent about doing God's work. Listen to the word of God. And then not only that, we see the persistence of the men that and their friend. There was four men that had this man, and they've heard that Jesus Christ was preaching. They had heard about the miracles that God was doing in the lives of people all over. And I believe this is us. Many people never come to Jesus unless we bring them. Now, I was thinking about Pack a Pew Night. There, you know, there's a great opportunity for you to invite someone that never comes to church to come. It doesn't hurt to invite them. Invite them. If they come, listen, let them sit with you. Tell them you want to see them there. I've been out inviting lost people to come. I've been out inviting people to come. I don't know if they're going to come or not. But listen, we can invite them. Many will never come unless we bring them. Go out and get them and bring them if you have to. Our job is to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ and bring them to God. These men were doing their job. Sometimes we get the idea that if we put up a sign out here and says revival, people just go naturally turn in. But lost people do not come to revivals. You know, you invite them, carry these things and give them out. Somebody told me this morning they didn't have the church's name on there. They do now. Rhonda got them ready for you. So please pass these out and invite people with them. Go to house where you live and let them know that we're having revival. Get the word out. It takes determination. Look at these four men. They got to the house. The house was packed. There wasn't any room. But most of these houses at those days had an outside stairway where people could go up to the roof to put things or dry things or whatever they wanted to put on the roof. But this house is packed, and these four men, they're carrying their friend. They want to make sure they get him to Jesus, because they believe if they can get him to Jesus, he will be healed. And they made their way up. Can you imagine as they taking this guy? Now, I've done a lot of toting and stuff before. It's not easy to tote somebody, but these guys are taking this man up these stairs and to the roof. And when they got to the roof, the Bible says they do a pretty bold thing. They start tearing up the roof. They're going to make sure their friend gets to Jesus. That's determination, friends. It's not easy to get people to Jesus Christ. And I think about soul winning. Soul winning is a tough job. If you've never been a soul winner, you ought to try it. Make up your mind that I'm going to try to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Nobody is home most of the time when you drive miles to see them. Maybe sometimes they don't open the door. Maybe things don't always go right. Let me tell you something. All the forces are evil are out there trying to stop you from winning that soul to Jesus Christ. It takes determination. It takes patience. I think of these four men. You ought to do everything in your power to get your friends to Jesus Christ. The Bible says the devil doesn't like it. It takes prayer. You better start out with prayer first and pray about that friend. Whatever you can do, make up your mind, I'm going to do all I can to win somebody to Jesus Christ. And do it. It takes determination. Can you imagine what the people thought as they started, the ceiling started falling through as they were getting this man to Jesus? I think sometimes that the Holy Spirit has to break up some old customs in people's lives to get them to soul winning or get them to get people to Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to dig up some old plans that we have. We need to tear up some old desires that we have in our life to start soul winning. A lot of people don't like to do that. But let me tell you something. The roof of a lot of churches needs to come off, and the churches need to get people to Jesus Christ. We need to try some things different. If it don't work the old way, get out and try something different. Somebody said, well, I don't like your way of witnessing. Well, I don't care how you witness. Just tell them about Jesus Christ. Any old way, just long as you get them to Jesus Christ. If it takes tearing up the roof, if it takes doing some different things, then do it. But these men had determination. They were going to get their friend to Jesus Christ. Now, not only that, look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, sons, your sin be forgiven. You see, words got out that this man, Jesus Christ, is healing people. And I just imagine these guys said, you know, I believe what he's done for others, he can do for our friend. He'll do for another. And folks, that's what we trust in. That's what we believe in. I have seen people saved. There's nobody out there too hard that Jesus Christ can't touch their life. I've watched alcoholics come to know Jesus Christ. I've watched men that you would never think would enter a church door get saved under the conviction of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He can do it when no one else can. Trust Jesus Christ. He can do it. And what a testimony that person has in their life. These men had faith, a faith that overcame difficulties, a faith that moved the roof, a faith that understood that it's important to get somebody to Jesus Christ so he can come into their life. And Jesus, the Bible says, saw their faith. You know what I believe? I believe if you'll go, that Jesus Christ will honor your commitment. I believe that Jesus Christ will honor your faith. And man, let me tell you something. He looked at these young men trying to get this man to Jesus, and he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus Christ went straight to the heart of the problem. Did you know that most of the time people's problems, the doctors tell us, are from spiritual problems or because they have bitterness in their life? I was telling Rhonda today, I was watching The Last of the Masters on television, and there's a young man on there. I won't call his name because I just don't want to call his name. But he was on The Masters, and he's got, I've read his story, he's got so many problems with his own family. He's got bitterness there. He wouldn't even hadn't talked to his father for years, and he had him at one tournament. They come to watch him play, him and his father and his sister, and he had them thrown out. And I thought, what kind of bitterness that young man has in his heart. Unforgiving spirit about it. And someone said he's the most unliked young man in golf. Well, you know, if we hold grudges, if we have that kind of bitterness in our life, no wonder people don't like us. You see? It just makes room for no love in your own life. God may forgive your sins, and he will forgive your sins. But folks, if we have bitterness in our life, it does damage all our lives. Let Jesus take those problems, and let Jesus cover those problems with his precious blood. Now, the scribes objected to this healing, and they begin to speak out, and they said this man speaks blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God? But what they didn't know, they were speaking to God, see? And Jesus proposed a test, and he knew exactly what they were thinking. And he says, is it easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or to rise up and walk? Now, if you say to someone, your sins be forgiven, what is that? You can't see that, can you? That's inward. Your sins be forgiven. That's an inward thing. It's not visible. But to say, rise up and walk, then that's visible. They would know the power. Well, to say, get up and walk, that visible sign, they would know that his sins were forgiven. You see, the scribes had a doctrine that no sick person could get well until their sins were forgiven. That's just their doctrine. So Jesus was saying, I'll prove my power that I have to forgive sin. And he said to the man, rise up and walk. And I like the word I said a while ago, immediately. Mark uses it many times in his word. Immediately the man got up. Now they could not deny the power of God. They could not deny what happened right in front of their very eyes, that the forgiveness that God had for this man right now. He had forgiveness. Right now, he had healing. Right now, he has had salvation. And the Bible says they were all amazed and glorified God. There's always that public acknowledgement, folks. People will see God being glorified in your life when you do what he asked you to do. And when Jesus Christ comes into your life, let me tell you something. People will be amazed at what Christ does. There's an old hymn says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is our Savior's love for me. Folks, if we'll just do what God asks us to do, if we'll determine in our mind that we're going to have revival in our heart and let Jesus Christ come into our lives, do all we can, be persistent in doing His Word, preaching His Word, telling His Word, coming to church, man, you'll be amazed at what God can do with His church here at First Baptist Church Gunbarrel. It never ceases to amaze me what God can do with one person that just abandons itself and turns itself over to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for your love. I thank you for this church, and I thank you, Lord, as we prepare ourselves for revival, Lord, that we will be determined to do everything we can just to get our lives right with you. And Lord, just watch what you do in our lives. Lord, I pray that we'll bring people to you any way we can. And we'll give you the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.